We're continuing in our Bible study in the book of Acts, and we're in chapter 3, and we're on question 15 and verses 19 through 21. So we'll read the question first, and then we'll turn to the verses of Scripture. So question 15 is, what does Peter mean when he speaks about the time of refreshing and the time of restitution? And turning to Acts, the third chapter, reading verses 19 through 21. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. All right, there's a lot of meat in these few scriptures here. But the question is, what is Peter talking about when he's talking about the time of refreshing or the time of restitution? So I'm going to open that to you, and you can pick either one. Time of refreshing or time of restitution. And if you have the definition for those words, you can give me that also. I'm sure everybody studied. Amen. Marty Slade.
It seemed to me, being it's saying that this is going to happen in the future, that this would be like the dispensation of fullness of times when, you know, God starts, you know, the rapture, I think, starting with the rapture, and, you know, at that time you would need to have your sins blotted out and, you know, forgiven so you can make the rapture. So that's I know that there's varying opinions whether it was talking about the rapture, but that's what it seems to me, because it seems to be talking about the future tense.
Thank you, Marty. Anyone else? What about our adult Sunday school class that we had the teaching on times of refreshing? We had that just recently in our class. So anyone on refreshing, what that means? Why would Peter say it here? There's a reason for every single word in this Word of God. What does that mean? What's time of refreshing? How are you refreshed? How are you refreshed? Paul?
Well, prayer is the number one. Number one thing in my mind is in his word. I mean, when I'm studying, is a lot of times he's just like he's talking to me, but, you know, I mean, it's, I don't care what happens to you in your life, if you get on your knees and talk to God about it, it's, when you get up, you're refreshed. It's some things you can't change, but it sure changes you inside where things don't bother you. That's where that peace and joy comes from.
Amen. How many got refreshed Sunday night? That is a refreshing. Okay, that's a spiritual. Now, all throughout the Word of God, you can see natural refreshing, and then there's spiritual refreshing. Now, Peter obviously is referring to the spiritual refreshing here. And that means just what happened Sunday night, to be rejuvenated, revived, re-energized, refresh, to take a breath, to breathe again. Now, think about that spiritually in your prayer, your worship. Let's go to scripture on that. Isaiah chapter 28, Old Testament. Isaiah 28, and reading verses 10 through 12. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people, to whom he said, this, okay, listen, this is the rest wherewith you may cause the weary to rest. And this is the refreshing. Yet they would not hear. With stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people. How do you get stammering lips and another tongue? When you're worshiping God, when you have the infilling of the Holy Spirit, and God takes over, and he takes that tongue, the most unruly member of our body, and he changes it into that spiritual heavenly language, and it can just be a word or two, or however many words you want to talk to God with. But that is the refreshing. Just one of the scriptures. I've got two pages of scriptures, but we don't really have time to go into the whole teaching on that refreshing, because we did cover a lot of it with most of you here in our adult Sunday school class. So I want to touch on the restitution, the time of restitution. What's restitution? What does that word mean? Restitution. It's a word we still use today. It's not just Old Testament or New Testament times, the Greek and Hebrew. Rick?
The definition I got is to reconstruct or recompose, like return to hydration is an example.
Amen. Reconstruct, recompose. Think about the re, R-E, re. Let's do it again. Restore to a former state. Restitution. Restore to the former state. Now, I think this should all be putting thoughts into your mind, because we've had this in many Bible studies, and all throughout Revelations. So restitution is the act of returning or restoring something to its former state. And we're going to go into this a lot more. So the first time I saw restitution in the Bible, of course, is the Old Testament, and it was a law. Now, this is the natural we're talking about. It was a law, restitution. So let's look at that in Leviticus chapter 6. And I want to read verses 1 through 7 in Leviticus chapter 6, because it just shows how detailed our God is about every part of our life. He's involved in every part of our life if we let him. Leviticus chapter 6, starting at verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, if a soul sin, if a soul sin, and commit a trespass against the Lord, and lie unto his neighbor in that which was delivered to him to keep, or in fellowship, lie in fellowship, or in a thing taken away by violence, or has deceived his neighbor. Now this is robbing from your neighbor, or deceiving your neighbor, or have found that which was lost, and lieth concerning it. Now you're lying again, and sweareth falsely. He breaks it all down. He doesn't leave any doubt in your mind of what God wants. In any of all these that a man doeth, sinning therein, then it shall be, because he has sinned and is guilty, that he shall restore that which he took violently away, or the thing which he hath deceitfully gotten, or that which was delivered him to keep, or the lost thing which he found. So, you know, God lays it out. He breaks it down into very minute detail, so there's no misconception. And he goes on in verse 5, or all that about which he has sworn falsely, he shall even restore it in the principal, okay, that's what he owes, and shall add the fifth part, 5% more, thereto, and give it unto him to whom it appertaineth in the day of his trespass offering. And he shall bring his trespass offering into the Lord, a ram without blemish out of the flock, with thy estimation for a trespass offering unto the priest. And the priest shall make an atonement for him before the Lord, and it shall be forgiven him for anything of all that he had done in trespassing therein. So this is called the trespass offering. It involved restitution, repaying, restoring what was taken, whether it was unintentionally, or whether it was intentionally, God made a way for them to make it right with each other. So that's the first time you'll see restitution in the law. That's the law. God laid it out for his people. But when I see this scripture in Acts and I think about restitution, what does that remind you of? Restitution, restoring. Restore something to its former state. What is going to be restored? What's going to be restored? I mean, there's a lot of things I want restored right now, but it's going to happen after Jesus comes back, that second coming. But what's going to be restored? It's not going to happen now. Mark?
Our ability to have a relationship with God.
Amen. That will be restored, that relationship with God, for eternity. For eternity. What else? Because there's a lot of things that are listed out in the Word of God that he is going to restore, that we lost way back in the very beginning. Marie?
I think I look at things now and I see how degrading some things are in the world, and how there's just, I just heard on the news today that doctors find that there's a Down syndrome baby and they are aborting those babies, killing them. And we won't have any of that. There will be no, but I look at it like God will restore those little children. They don't just die. God knows that they have very special spirits and very unique love for their fellow man. And look at things like that, and how all the precious things that we hold so dear will be restored. And the things that, those things are of God. Those things are not of man.
Amen. And the children are God's today. The children Amen. Belong to God. Hap?
Again, like somebody mentioned, our relationship with God. In the beginning, when Adam and Eve walked with God, they were perfect then. And that's the same thing when he takes us off this world, raptures us out. We'll have that perfect understanding. Tongues will cease. We'll know as we're known. Our communion with God, we'll walk with him. And it'll just be perfect again.
Amen. I'm looking forward to that day. I think we all are. Anyone else on what you believe is going to be restored? I would like a just government to be restored right now, but I know it's not going to happen until after he comes back. All right, let's look at the scriptures. Let's go all the way back to Genesis, because that's where you see what was lost. Well, you'll see what needs to be restored to its former state. In Genesis chapter 2. How many here love animals? There's a reason why we all love animals. God put that inside of mankind. And we'll see this relationship between people and animals. So Genesis chapter 2, and reading verse 19. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. So God brought all these animals to Adam. He named them. Obviously, these animals were peaceful. They're not the animals that we have today. When you want to go hug a bear, or people want to climb over the fences at the zoo to go mingle with the animals, it doesn't work out. Or you want to go live on Kodiak Island with the bears, it doesn't work out. Eventually, the bears become the savage bears that they are, the animal that they are. And the tigers and the lions and all those animals that we love, and they're beautiful to look at and they're God's creation, but we can't sit down by them and pet them. But there's going to come a day when we can do that. So let's look at Isaiah chapter 11. Isaiah chapter 11, and reading verses 6 and 7. Isaiah 11, 6 and 7. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb. Now there's two in this day that would never happen. The wolf is going to eat the lamb. But when Jesus restores it to its former state, then the wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. Isn't that a beautiful picture? I can't wait for that day, you know, when I can do that, when I can walk with that leopard and that beautiful bear and all those beautiful animals that God created. Amen. And what?
The world.
Oh, the world, yes, absolutely. And verse 7, and the cow and the bear shall feed, their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The lion shall eat straw like the ox. The lion's not going to go and kill another animal for its food. They're going to be in perfect harmony, the way it was in the Garden of Eden, the way God created it. And we all know what separated all of that from God. Sin. Sin. Sin brought that separation. Same today. Let's turn to Isaiah 65. Just one more prophecy in Isaiah about this time of restoration. Isaiah 65 and reading verse 25. Same thing. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together, and the lion shall eat straw like the bullock, and dust shall be the serpent's meat. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, saith the Lord. Now this is going to take place. This is part of the restoration of this world. When God, Jesus, returns at second coming and he takes the control. He's already paid the price at Calvary. He's already shed his blood. But he hasn't taken control of this world yet. Yet. All right, let's turn to Genesis. Turn back to Genesis chapter 2. And most of our Sunday school students have been taught these scriptures. Genesis chapter 2, reading verses 4 through 6. These are the generations of the heavens and of the earth when they were created, in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens, and every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew. For the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth. The Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not a man to till the ground. But there went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. This is going to be restored. That perfect ecological system that used to be in the Garden of Eden, that is going to be restored. This world is going to return back to its former state, the way God had originally created it, with that perfect harmony of life and plants and no rain. I can't wait for that day. No rain. God will put it back into its former state. In the same chapter, drop down to verse 9. Genesis chapter 2, verse 9. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. So here we see the tree of life in this garden. So now we know that tree of life has to be restored. It's in the garden. It's going to return to its former state that God created in this earth. Perfection. Perfection. And that tree of life is going to be there. And we know that because we've studied that in Revelations. We'll go into those scriptures a little bit later. So the tree of life will be restored. And the reason I know that, let's turn to Revelations chapter 22. This makes me excited because it gives me so much to look forward to, and I can visualize this. This I can visualize. This I have an imagination for, of God's beauty, God's creation, that Garden of Eden, and how the whole world is returning to its former state of perfection. Revelations 22, reading verses 1 through 3. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life. It's restored. Which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And verse 3, there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. So we see this beautiful tree of life. It's restored in the garden in New Jerusalem. But it also says here that at this time there should be no more curse. Well, what's that curse? What is the curse? Mark?
It's the curse of sin that Satan brought with his deception.
We have that curse today. That curse has not gone away. But it will go away when Jesus returns and restores this world, and not just this world, the heavens and the earth, to its former perfection. Because he creates in perfection. Hap?
It just kind of brings up a question. In restoring, when he created Adam and Eve, and he told them to replenish the earth. I wonder how far back on restoration, because the earth was without form and void. Just a question, how far back is he going to go? Because I'm kind of excited to see what he's going to do, man.
How far back?
You look at the heavens and that there and the dimensions, and it's exciting when you stop to think about what he's got waiting, and I'm definitely excited about seeing what he's got in store for us, or restoring for us.
Amen, and we get to be right there with them. The bride will be with the Lord, will be with Jesus when he comes back to take power and start getting rid of the sin in this world. So, the curse, we'll get into that a little bit more later, but let's look at something that we don't really talk about that much, but the Jewish people, the Israelites, they were God's chosen people. They were the first. God chose them out of all the people in the land to serve him. And he laid it all out. I mean, that's how come you can read Leviticus and Deuteronomy and all the law. And God laid it out. How to live their daily life, what to wear, what to eat, and how to treat one another in everyday life. So turn to Isaiah, because Isaiah is a wonderful book to read on prophecy. A lot of it hasn't happened yet, but it will. In Isaiah chapter 51. Isaiah 51 and reading just verse 3. For the Lord shall comfort Zion. He will comfort all her waste places, and he will make her wilderness like Eden. So he's going to restore their land, and it's going to be like Eden, the Garden of Eden, perfection. And her desert like the garden of the Lord. I mean, what a beautiful picture. Joy and gladness shall be found therein, thanksgiving and the voice of melody. And I can't wait for that day to see God's people, the Israelites, be able to have that in their land, because they've suffered greatly throughout history. So that's a promise to God's chosen people. In Isaiah chapter 54, reading verse 17. And here's another thing I look forward to. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. No weapons. There'll be no weapons when he restores this earth. And no one will raise a tongue against his people that are on the earth. So stay in Isaiah and turn to chapter 65. And reading verses 17 through 19. Isaiah 65, starting at verse 17. For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered nor come into mind. But be ye glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem a rejoicing and her people a joy. And I will rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in my people, and the voice of weeping shall be no more heard in her, nor the voice of crying. It's such a beautiful picture, but here we see the restoration of the heavens and the earth. He's going to make them as new, new heavens and a new earth. Staying in Isaiah, let's turn back to chapter 25. And this talks about the curse that we mentioned earlier. Isaiah 25, reading verses 8 and 9. He will swallow up death in victory. And we know he's already done that. And the Lord God will wipe away tears from off all faces. Now this is the future. And the rebuke of his people shall he take away from off all the earth, for the Lord has spoken it. And it shall be said in that day, lo, this is our God. We have waited for him. Isn't that what we're doing now? We're waiting for him. We're preparing ourselves and we're waiting for his return. We've waited for him. We will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. We are glad now and rejoice in our salvation. We have those promises through his word, walking in his spirit. So swallowed up in death is victory. The curse of death from sin is gone. It's not gone yet, but it will be gone after he returns. People still die today. But turn back to Genesis chapter 3. And I just want to point something out to you here. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 22. And the Lord God said, behold, the man is become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. What happened? The Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. Never had to till the ground before sin. Never had to struggle and toil before sin. But in verse 22, what I want to point out is that God made that tree of life, and he intended for man to live forever. Tree of life, eat it and live forever. And when man sinned, he lost that right to that tree of life, and that's when death came in from sin and separation from God. But God always intended for man to live forever. And we're going to that day when Jesus returns. Turn to the New Testament, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and reading verses 20 and 26, just verse 20 and verse 26. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. And then going to verse 26, the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. That's the last thing that will be destroyed. We have death today, but there's going to come the time when Jesus comes back and he restores everything to that original perfect state that God created. There'll be no more death. The last enemy is death. And I want to turn to 2 Peter chapter 3. And this will be my last scripture. But this scripture, these scriptures I want to read are... They cover so much of our lives and what we're supposed to be like, what God wants us to be like. And it also brings out, all the Old Testament, all the New Testament apostles, all the churches knew and understood about the restoration that was going to be coming. Paul taught it, Peter taught it, all the apostles taught it. So 2 Peter chapter 3, and starting at verse 7. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Now that's going to happen when sin is going to be cleaned up off of this earth. Fire is used. The bride will not be here during that time. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. That's God's time. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward. That's why we're all still here, because our God is long-suffering. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And that's why we share this gospel message with everyone we meet. That's why we're ambassadors for Christ. That's why we're ministers of reconciliation. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. The works of sin shall be burned up. Oh. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, so this is going to happen. So what manner of person should you be? Getting ready, being prepared. What manner of person ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Holy conversation, how you act, how you talk, how you put things on Facebook. It's either a great medium, can use it as spreading the word of God, or it can bite and destroy and cause divisions. But be careful with your words on Facebook. Because it's like so impersonal that I think we don't think that anybody is going to be affected by what we put on Facebook. Personal thoughts, personal comments. But be in all things holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God. I'm looking for and hasting. I want it to happen soon, but I don't want anyone to perish. I mean, I want all to come to repentance too. But it's all in God's time. So looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved. Now this is going to happen. And the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise... This is his promise to each and every one of us. Look for new heavens and a new earth. We're looking for that new heaven and that new earth because that means Jesus has come back. And he's going to get rid of sin in this old world. And I'm talking, if you watch the news, you can see sin. You can see parents killing their children. You can see them killing 5-month-old babies, parents. Now, that grieves me to no end. You can see adults hurting children. And there's so much sin in this world that it can be overwhelming if you look at it a lot. But I mean, just if I watch the news, it just keeps me aware of what this world is about and that Jesus is coming back soon and he's going to clean it up and restore it to its former beautiful state. So we, according to his promise, look for this new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of him in peace. In peace. In peace with yourself, in peace with people around you, in peace with people on Facebook. Without spot and blameless. Without spot and blameless. And account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, and that's why we're still here. That's why God is long suffering, because there are souls. There are still souls that are going to be filled with his spirit. And then they're going to be looking for those new heavens and the new earth that dwells righteousness. So account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation. Even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, has written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things. He spoke about this all the time to the churches. In which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. So you want to wrestle with the scriptures and say, well, that's not for me. I don't believe that part. It's like you can't take away and you can't add to the word of God. That's what God tells us. Don't add anything to my word. He doesn't need our help. And don't take anything away and tell people, oh, it's okay. Like the Satan serpent told Eve, oh, it's okay. God doesn't mean that. You won't be separated from God. You won't have to die. So ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. We all have to be steadfast in our walk with God, in our studying his word, in our daily prayer. We have to be steadfast. We have to stand our ground. And verse 18, but grow in grace. And in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Those are the scriptures God put on my heart, but that restoration of all these things that we love. I love the sky. I love the heavens. I love the earth. Those of you that travel know there's many, many beautiful places on this earth. But this earth isn't perfect. There's sin in this earth. And everywhere you go, you're going to find it. So we can look forward to that time of restoration, that time when God is going to take back everything and restore it to its original state that he wanted it to be. No death, no tears, no sorrow, no pain. And living with the animals side by side, no fear. I look forward to that day. Or anything, anybody want to add anything else? My ears are filling up. All right, so thank you all for your participation. And study for next Wednesday, Bible study. And we will be going into the next question, which is question 16. So study into question 16. What gave Peter the ability to stand and deliver this powerful message? So I want to ask you all to pray for everybody that's not here, because there must be a lot of people sick or gone or working. But keep them all in your prayers, okay? All right, thank you.